Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I should be writing number 408.
Hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Myrrh Lafferty, and it's another car cast because I'm doing an unexpected trip to do an errand, and I figured there's stuff I've wanted to talk about, and I was going to record today anyway, and I am a stone-cold pro! Yes. So, things are going better for me. I was depressed for a little while, and then I got kind of cranky. I know, you know, Cowboy Wally says, babies are cranky, old men are cranky, I'm tormented. But no, I was cranky. And I walked around going, well, I guess this is better than depression, but now I'm cranky for a reason I can't figure out. So that sucked for a little while, but we're in spring here in the Northern Hemisphere, and I'm in the South, and the weather is kind of doing its weird spring things. You know, hot and cold and stormy and sunny, and it fluctuates. So I'm going to blame the weather for a little while. I've been doing work on the novel. It went well, and then it kind of halted. And then I got mad because I hate it when I have productive days and I think I'm really getting into a groove, and then it kind of screeches to a halt. And there's another thing I can't tell you why it happens. But I got back into it, and I'm going well. Had an unexpected thing crop up where I have one of my major characters texting somebody who matters a lot to him, and I was going for a walk one night, and I realized that this person he's texting has to be in the book. He's not just the other end of a text message. This person is... It would be interesting to bring this person in as a character, so I had to... This is the first completely unplanned character I've thrown into the book. Major character. Or rather, minor character. Major, minor. I don't know. Not somebody who's in more than two scenes. How about that? Anyway. But one thing I was struggling with is structure. And I don't think I've talked about structure very much. I've talked about where to start the story, because I think where to start the story is fascinating. And I think I can talk about this now, because when I first talked about this, Game of Thrones was either... I think it was on TV, but they hadn't gotten to the big, big reveal. Essentially, Jon Snow's parentage. And I think now that the books have been out for a long time and enough internet speculation has happened, and then most of internet speculation was confirmed by the TV show, I can talk about this. So if you really want to remain pure in Game of Thrones speculation and you just plan on reading it or watching it someday, then don't listen to this. But it's important because it's a really big deal of structure. Now, the story of Game of Thrones, in my opinion, I know Martin has done a great deal of epic storytelling all over the timeline, but the story of Game of Thrones has to do with a married prince who fell in love with a woman, and they ran off, had an affair, which we know this now, to the eyes of her loved one, she was captured and kidnapped and taken against her will. and her betrothed, Robert Baratheon, started up a big old war and to go get her back. And it turns out that she went there willingly. She was happy with him. She was about to have a baby. And she gave the baby to her brother and then died. And her brother said he would raise him as his bastard. So Jon Snow is actually the son of a prince. And he's a Targaryen. He's just not all silvery-haired and violet-eyed and rather mad. So that's where the story starts, because everything that happens after that is based on that. Baratheon essentially takes, you know, he loses his loved one, but he takes the throne because he starts a war based on it. And so you've got the Hand of the King, who's a traitor, and you've got, Baratheon, who instead of marrying his lady love, married Cersei and started having demon spawn children that weren't actually his. And then, you know, he wanted his good old friend Ned to come and be the Hand of the King, which of course turned out real well for Ned. So on and on. And Martin looked at this story and said, the story starts here, but this is going to be a mystery that drives it, and it is going to be a major reveal. It hasn't even been revealed in the books yet. There have been hints, and people who have been very good at combing through thousands of pages have found the hints and figured it out. He still hasn't said it. And that's a long time to keep that secret. So what I'm struggling with in my book is, you know, I know X happens, and I know Y happens, and I know Z happens, but what I have to wonder about is, are some things just going to happen, or are some things going to be a shocking reveal? You know, is let's say person A is going to a party and does not know that person B is going to be there. And then we get a scene with person B going to the party. So now the reader knows that person B is at the party, and they know that person A doesn't know. So person A gets there and it's all, oh, there's somebody else at this party. I know I'm being really vague and kind of pointless here, but I think you get what I'm putting down. And so do I want person A to be surprised and the reader to not be surprised? Or do I want to structure the story in a way that tells person B's side of going to the party after person A and the reader get shocked that person B is there? This is all clear in my mind because I've been thinking about it for weeks, but I worry that I'm not making any sense to you, so if I need to clarify, please email me. But it's structured like this. Like, you already know all the things that are going to happen, but it still matters in what order you put the story. Now, I really enjoyed working with flashbacks on Six Wakes, and I think I did a pretty good job of weaving them in and out, going from the past to the present, back to the past. It's a technique I copied from the TV show Lost, actually, because I really liked how you got a sense of, you saw these people shipwrecked, and then you got a sense of who everybody was, and then you saw their backstory, and you realized you were completely wrong about them, and I kind of wanted to emulate that. And so I think, I realize I've written quite a bit of this book, but the story hasn't gotten moving yet, and I realize I need to take a lot of what I've written and maybe put it in flashback in different parts of the book. So I realize I'm not even writing this book chronologically. This book, I am not sponsored by anybody, because my Patreon supporters sponsor me. Thank you, Patreon supporters. But I do love the program Scrivener. It's, a lot of people don't like it. Some people tell me the Windows version isn't as good as the Mac. I can't speak to that because I'm on a Mac. And I'm not endorsing it because I'm not telling you what you're using is wrong. But I'm telling you, in times like this, when I'm writing non-chronologically, it makes moving scenes around so much easier than if I just had one big long document like in Word. So I am just writing these different characters' parts, and when the story starts to move, I'll tell the facts, but I need to remember the emotional beats and the emotional reveals. Because, I mean, think about how Game of Thrones would have been if you'd known who Jon Snow was from the very beginning. It would be so different. You'd think that Robert was an unjustified jerk. And, you know, you'd wonder why Ned just didn't tell his son. I mean, he could, or his, the guy who thought he was his son. You'd wonder a lot of things. And you'd be doing the whole horror movie of, no, don't go in that room, because you know the monster's in there, when, say, you know, Jon Snow, hell, I don't remember. Anyway, you know what I mean. You have to decide how much you show your characters, but also how much you show your readers to keep them wondering and caring. Why I like Scrivener is because I can look at all that, and I can look at the scene. I'm just writing different scenes from different points of view, and I'm putting them all in their own little folders with their names on it. And then when I get ready to edit the mass together, knowing me, I'll probably write each scene on an actual physical note card and sit on the floor of my office and move them around, and then I'll move them around on Scrivener, and then I'll have to reread it to make sure that everything flows together. But I'm thinking that this is the way I'm going to have to approach it, and I feel better about this than I did before. So I think this is the way I'm going to go. Yeah. One thing that's funny is last night I was on a walk, and I was feeling unconfident about this book. And I remembered I felt unconfident about Six Wakes. So Six Wakes turned out okay, so this made me feel confident about this book. And I remember there's a scene from Arrested Development where Tobias is trying to be frightened. He's signing up for a frightened inmate audition, and he shows up prepared to act frightened, and he sees his competition and he feels confident. And he's lost his ability to be frightened. So now he feels frightened because he no longer feels frightened. And then he decides he's ready. That's kind of how I felt. I felt unconfident about the book, realized that I felt unconfident before, which made me feel confident about feeling unsure about the book. And I've arrived at my destination. And I pretty much said all I want to say about the structure of this book. I think, and, you know, I would really like it if you guys hold me to this, because it's going to be a while before this book comes out, because it's not even written yet. But I think when it comes out, I would like to do a special secret spoilerific episode of I Should Be Writing, where I reference everything I'm now talking about so I can give you a little bit more context. And tell you specifically what I'm struggling with and specifically what needs to be, where it ended up. But it's going to be spoilerific, so be warned. But it's also not going to happen for like over a year, so. Somebody with a long memory, you remember, okay? All right. Thank you for listening. My name is Mer Lafferty. My website is at merverse.com, and you can support the Patreon at patreon.com/mightymer. I do another podcast called Ditch Diggers with Matt Wallace. We swear a lot and talk about the business of writing. And I'm also the editor, co-editor of Escape Pod with SB Divya at escapepod.org. And I write some books too. So check me out, check all my projects out at merverse.com, and I'll see you next week as we talk about more writing stuff and novel stuff, and I give you an update on what I'm up to. But until then, you should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing the theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. It's on TV.